T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have some Cowboy updates coming out of practice. Have you seen this Ezeraku chart? I'm going to hit you with this Ezeraku chart here in just a second as the data continues to impress and hint at a breakout season for this rookie Cowboy. Maybe this draft class is going to be the one that helps the Cowboys turn the corner on their draft trends. But yeah, Overshown left practice early with trainers. You should have seen Cowboys Twitter. They were in a full-blown panic as we took the air about an hour ago. Then Joseph Hoyt came in and kind of calmed things down by saying it was a hand or finger in a drill. Todd Archer came through about 30 minutes later with the update, just a thumb issue, and yeah. He's back in practice. Brian, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I just got the text message. It was the thumb, and everything's fine with it.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. So
everything's fine.
He's coming back for the Raider game, right?
We're good.
They were talking about taking all 21 days.
All 21 days
is what they were talking about.
So. Holy do your crap. Thing, 21.
So it would be practice. What practice?
We're at 8 days now.
Yeah, it might be a couple more weeks for sure.
All right. So we'll hope for the best for
that's
for
what they were saying.
Trayvon Diggs. I just wonder what that means. Does the bye week count as days? Because if you take all 21 days, then he would be back for the Raiders game.
Good question.
As long as the bye week counts. I assume it counts, but you know, you're not able to practice that week. Maybe it's a void. Maybe it's a non-entity.
Yeah, I think because I don't think it counts. No, I don't.
Okay, Trayvon Diggs was running on the sideline as well, maybe testing out his legs or his knees or something. But he's got three more weeks sitting on IR before his window even opens. Okay.
Google says yes. We'll see if it's right. Google says it does count.
It does count.
Mm-hmm. Always trust the Googs.
Okay, I'm bringing up this chart here, this overshown chart. What you have is average time to pressure and pressure rate. And Ezeraku's average time to pressure is like just under 2.4 seconds, which is better than Micah Parsons. And his pressure rate is just like a fraction of a percentage point lower than Micah Parsons. Like, it looks like right now on this chart here, Ezeraku is elite. I'm going to retweet this, by the way, right now from at Gavin Dawson. If you want to jump on there, follow us all at G-Bag Nation. But, I mean, that's just raw data right there. There's no butt crack about it. I guess I haven't seen on TV watching him destroy a game plan. But
no, he's gotten close. Whether the quarterback gets the ball out quickly or he's just lacks the finish and maybe he overruns it a little bit. I mean, he's definitely shown improvement. And last week, he actually had an awesome rush where it was vintage what we saw on tape at Boston College, where he's able to dip, get underneath McGlinchey, and get around towards Nix. It didn't result in a sack, but he's been close. I mean, I definitely think he's getting better and better. He's actually been really darn good against the run. I mean, he might be their best run defender, which isn't saying much, but I've been pretty impressed with him in terms of run defense. But those numbers, I mean, that is still surprising. I haven't noticed him being like that dominant.
I guess that's just the difference between a sack and a pressure. But yeah, and maybe it's maybe it's more cherry-picked opportunities. How many snaps he's got? He's got 267 snaps, so the team leaders have about 360. So he's in there about two-thirds of the time, or maybe just a little bit more. What would you say the film's telling you on Ezeraku now, Brian? Does he look like one of the more dominant ends?
His best game was against Green Bay, and you looked at the pressures he had, the tackles he had. That by far was, you know, that was the one where you were kind of like going, well, maybe he's got this thing kind of rolling the right way. I think he's played better at times. I think there's some things still that you kind of have to deal with inexperience. Mm-hmm. This would be a good game for him this week. I think him against Jonah Williams, I think, is a really good matchup for him, because Jonah Williams will sometimes not move his feet, and like he'll set, and the one thing that has given Jonah Williams problem is a guy that's got really good first step quickness. And that's what we've seen kind of so far from Donovan Ezeraku.
So maybe in this case, the analytics a little bit misleading, but at the same time, encouraging. Is that safe to
say? Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely encouraging. Yeah.
Mavs got a win over the Pacers. Next game is Saturday in Detroit. They are 2-3 on the year. The bigger concern is the injury to Anthony Davis. Apparently he started this game with bilateral Achilles tendonitis. And about 7 minutes into his action last night, he was forced to come out of the game. To me, I don't think this is connecting dots. Dude showed up 20 pounds overweight for camp, developed Achilles tendonitis probably by working hard, trying to get in shape and lose that weight. Last night, he was forced out of the game four games into the season by irritating it. I mean, trading Luka because he's hurt and being overweight for a guy who just really cannot get healthy and was overweight in his first offseason with you. How has Nico not been fired yet?
It looks, in the watching them play, the team, it's just a bunch of parts. I mean, nothing fits together. I don't know why.
You can't break down the defense.
No.
You're waiting for somebody to grab the ball and make an aggressive move to get a shot off.
It's dysfunctional. Yeah. I thought they were about to blow that game last night to Indiana, and Indiana was a shell of itself as well. I mean, Blake told us during crosstalk how many players they were missing.
Yeah.
So when Dwight Powell is one of your leading scorers, something's definitely off here. But it's not a surprise to anybody that Anthony Davis is hurt. Maybe Bobby's got more information, Bobby Corello, and we have him on the other side about an update on what exactly is going on. But this could end up being absolutely brutal. Like, if this is a long-term injury, I don't know. It's a matter of if Nico gets fired. He's got to. Unless they're totally cool with this. This is what they want. They want the Mavericks to stink. Like, this is all the rumors we've heard about the ownership. This is part of the big plan. Get them to stink so damn bad that maybe then they do pull the rug out from under us here.
You know, I guess I would think that I can't rule that out, but the more likely explanation is this is what happens when you have a young, naive owner in sports, and I don't know how long it takes to figure it out. You know, with players that come in, it's about 3, 4, 5 years in where they're like, holy crap, this is a business. Nobody cares about me. They're using me as an asset, and we're not family at all. You know, they're actually trying to exploit me for my talents and, you know, take money from me and my family's future. With an owner, that maybe has more a business savvy, ideally you would think this guy would be a little bit quicker on the uptake. But I don't know how you can look at an owner not having fired Nico yet and believe that the light bulb has been turned on at this point. You know, to get talked into it, fine. You know, but then to have the plan go so horribly bad immediately, yes. Right? Then you have an off season. You got Cooper Flagg. It's like, okay, here we go. But then a reminder as soon as training camp starts that you made the wrong move, moving Luka for Anthony Davis. And by the way, he has some of the same faults, some of the same flaws that Luka had as far as being injury prone, and he's also out of shape. And then you show up unable to play defense. Like, this is a crisis, and I think it's only being flying under the radar to the extent it is right now because maybe people are fatigued by the outrage around Luka and the Cowboys season still going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the sports world outside of Mavericks basketball. I mean, we got a comment from the 979. Did y'all not talk about Luka being hurt last week? Why didn't that get the same coverage as when AD gets hurt? Well, Luka's not on the team anymore, but Luka also did set a Laker record, first player ever to start with two consecutive 40-point games. I mean, like, he was incredible for the Lakers. And then, yes, he is hurt, but it's not supposed to be long term. But also, when you look at the history of great players that have worn a Laker uniform, like, come on. Every time Lucas seems to step on the floor, the dude's making history. It's crazy. And you knew at the time that the likelihood of banking on Anthony Davis to stay healthy was fool's gold. And it's proving again.
And how much of all this goes back to with the Mavericks and AD getting banged up, like the medical staff fiasco that Nico Harrison was manipulating, right? And, I mean, bilateral Achilles tendinopathy. And he plays the game? Like, why would he even play in that game last night?
Sure.
That's a good point.
That makes no sense that he would even play in that game, knowing how fragile he is and knowing just all the nightmare Achilles issues that we've seen throughout sports and especially in the NBA over the last few years. You're going to run him out there on a random night this early in the season when he's dealing with that? Like, playoff game, okay. What are we doing? But I guess all their other bigs were banged up, right? So it was like, what else? I mean, they just built the most fragile roster in the sport, and it's maddening.
Man, I hadn't even thought about that angle of how dysfunctional the training staff situation got, and maybe it's not any better. And maybe you blew everybody out, and you know you just can't get it right. I've seen the why they moved Luka. You know, I don't really care about what Luka's status is. I'm not surprised he's hurt again. You know, I thought there was actually some common sense to it. It's just what you got back. It's you know, the fact that you did not have any sort of a bidding war when you decided to trade Luka and ultimately took a player back who was much older, much more injury prone.
And not as good.
Yeah, not even close to as good.
Not as good.
But I guess his upside was he could be a good two-way player and you want to go towards defense. And now he's been healthy. You add Cooper Flagg. You've had an entire offseason to build this thing out. And you're below average defensively. At least they got the win last night against an equally decimated Indiana Pacers team. But I want to salute Eric. I mean, salute to you for, I think, being first on the show that this was sort of a lost cause. I wanted to believe. But four games in, I'm on your side now. Like, I think this season is already lost, and we need to start coming up with how do you make the most out of this? And I think that's why Patrick Dumont has to fire Nico. Like, start pressing him to see what you can get for your veteran players so you can go young and actually take advantage of the value that they have now before they are too old or get injured again. Like, you could trade Anthony Davis for something right now. A big, needy team, they can squint and say, we're not winning a championship without him. Let's give up picks for him. Mm-hmm. And if he stays healthy, we can roll with Oklahoma City. You could do that right now. But if the Achilles tendinopathy turns into torn Achilles, it's over. You'll never get another first-round pick for him.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You're trying to be proactive right now. But it's kind of like I think there's some like Trayvon Diggs elements to it. Like,
sure.
How many teams really want to take on that risk? And the ones that are, what are you actually willing to give up?
Man, I was so surprised yesterday with Jordan Schultz and what he was talking about. Like, yeah, sure, there'd be teams out there that'd be interested in your guy.
I know. That surprised me as well. Yeah. I mean, it's such a need position. Like, how many teams right now need a corner? And maybe read the, like, whatever Seth Walder put together yesterday where they're talking about some of the metrics on Diggs and they're not quite as bad as maybe you would think.
Sure. But, a player that's been good in his career.
Right.
So, you're
change
thinking,
scenery.
Yeah, can we possibly get that player back?
Cooper Flagg, 15-10 last night. The skill, the high motor, going to spell a ton of NBA success for him. He has debuted at fourth in the updated Rookie of the Year rankings that are out. The Kia Rookie of the Year rankings, they're updating this weekly from the official award. Folks, Tim Kalashaw wrote about it, talking about how the timelines just don't line up. You know, you got to be patient with Cooper Flagg. I don't think you can afford to be patient with Anthony Davis. But probably what the Mavs are going to tell themselves is, let's see what this thing looks like when Kyrie Irving gets back. And hopefully he gets back with enough time to evaluate before the NBA trade deadline. So if it doesn't look significantly better. But yeah, VJ Edgecombe, who we talked about this week, 76ers, he's got the highest odds to win Rookie of the Year. Cedric Coward with the Grizzlies, the 11th pick, he's hooping. And then Dylan Harper, son of Ron, with the Spurs, the second pick, he's got the third best chance to win Rookie of the Year. It was 26 years ago the Mavs added Dirk to the mix, hoping he could turn into some kind of scoring threat along with being 7 feet tall. He was almost two full years older than Flagg, and he averaged 8 points per game for the season, made 40% of his shots, and just under 21% from the three-point line. So I think there's two truths here. Flag's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he had a double-double last night. Badass block.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ready to go help you win a championship. So let's adjust based on that. I don't need to watch 40 or 50 more games. You know, I can see clearly that Flag is probably a couple of years away from being that good. And it would be more exciting right now to go young and watch a young group of Mavs come up together and, you know, evaluate the drafts. Like, that's a much better fan experience than bringing in, you know, old players who are injury prone and keeping your fingers crossed that they stay healthy so you can finish slightly above 500. Like, this sucks.
Could not agree more, bro.
I can't believe it actually got this bad. You know, and I guess they got what they paid for. But I really did have some confidence that this team could contend and at least be good. I mean, you look at the parts right now. And
they got a lot of good players.
Yeah, but it's like they're playing boot ball in soccer. Just throw it down there and hope it bounces to somebody and we can lay it in. Like, there's no real plan for breaking down the defense other than when D'Angelo Russell is in there. And that's a very poor man's playoff starting point guard. The Austin Reeve Hall of Fame week continues. Wow. You see this? Yeah. Game-winning floater at the buzzer to lift the Lakers over the T-Wolves with Luka and LeBron out. So he went 51 Sunday, 41 Monday. Last night had 28 and 16. And the career highlight reel, finisher there at the horn. All righty. Let's step aside here because we got Bobby Corella on. We'll talk more Mavs with him. And see what kind of answers he's got where he can maybe make me a little bit more optimistic about where this club's going. Then Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. He'll preview the Cardinals' defense for you, and we're back in the nation.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. You're on the Fan Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Is Bobby Corella, All City, joining us now here on the Fan. Bobby, how the heck are you?
I'm doing a little better than the Mavs are feeling right now, gentlemen, but see if we can turn it around.
Well, yeah, so what's the updates here? Anthony Davis, Achilles, Lively, Gafford, when are we getting them back?
I really don't know, and that is kind of the frustrating thing. So the Mavs right now are en route to Mexico. They're going to be playing a game in Mexico City on Saturday. So there was no practice today or anything. They will be having kind of like a informal practice tomorrow. And so hopefully, you know, any of the reporters that make it down there can share updates from Jason Kidd or whoever. But I mean, with Daniel Gafford, you know, he got hurt on the first day of training camp and the initial timetable was 2 to 3 weeks, but that was 4 weeks ago from yesterday. So it's been a while and he isn't even going through practice right now. So I can't imagine it's going to be anytime soon. And then, you know, Derek Lively, his injury went from knee soreness to a knee sprain overnight, and that is not a good thing for a big man. And then with AD, you know, it's bilateral Achilles tendinopathy. I'm not a doctor, but according to Google AI, that means soreness and potentially tendonitis in not one, but both Achilles. And last night he made it about 7-8 minutes into the game and then had to leave. And so, I mean, there have been players that have dealt with that injury that have missed days. There's been players that have dealt with that injury that have missed more than a month. And obviously the Mavs have to hope it's the day's one.
How good should we be feeling about the Mavs medical and training staff right now after everything getting the way it did last year?
Well, it is a pretty much entirely new staff from last year. And so if the issue last year was, you know, inexperience or feuding internally or just outright incompetence, you know, all of those things should be solved. I mean, I think the cold hard truth, man, I mean, it is really, really hard to stay healthy in the NBA these days, regardless of how tall you are. And it's even harder whenever you're a really, really tall guy. You know, when AD and Derek Lively switch a lot on defense, they defend a lot in space. They move in ways that people their height historically have not moved. And that could leave them exposed to a greater risk of injury. And, you know, if you only have one or two of those guys, then you can make it work. But the Mavs have a lot of those guys on their team. And so this could just be the way it's going to be. And that is obviously a big bummer because size and interior presence is like the core foundation building block of this team. And if it's going to be absent all year, then, you know, they could be in trouble.
Do you think they kind of maybe missed on the way that they've built this thing? Just the way that this thing's looking right now, they need a point guard. And you got a bunch of bigs, you got a bunch of talented players, but it kind of just seems like a chaotic mess.
It really does. It really does. Now, I mean, Brandon Williams played last night after, you know, missing a few games for personal reasons, and obviously he was reportedly arrested over the weekend. Ron Harad from DLLS Sports actually broke that, one of my colleagues here, which was a great scoop by him. But, you know, watching him and D'Angelo Russell run the offense, Brandon Williams is on a minimum. You know, D'Angelo Russell is on like his 15th team and is playing for the taxpayer mid-level exception. I mean, these are not relatively highly paid players in the NBA, but they are running this offense at a much higher level than Cooper Flagg is at the one, or really any other player on the team that's been trying to run offense. And that, I think, just underscores more than anything why playmaking, shot creation, you know, the ability to dribble, shoot, and pass all in one package, why that is so important in the modern NBA with the way that defenses are constructed and the way that you run offense and generate good shots. And for the Mavs to lean into essentially an entirely different brand of basketball that minimizes the importance of those players, it's just really puzzling to me over the summer. But we've already seen, I mean, statistically, their offense is so much better with either D'Lo or Brandon Williams on the floor than when they're off. And so hopefully the Mavs will kind of lean in more and rely more on those guys until Kyrie Irving comes back. And, I mean, one potential silver lining of their bigs missing time is they don't really have any other choice. They have to do that right now, and hopefully it leads to some amount of success. But I mean, as it is right now, the Mavs are 29th in the NBA in offensive rating, and you know, you have to be in the top half, or more likely the top 10, in order to compete for a title, and that is their stated goal.
What's been your overall thoughts on Cooper Flagg as his career has gotten underway?
I think he's been good at he's been inconsistent at scoring. I'll lead with that. But I think he's been good at pretty much everything else. You know, he has struggled, I think, with ball pressure, but that is not a core component of his game. I mean, he is not a point guard by trade. So in my opinion, the ability for him to handle the ball and make decisions with the ball is not important, and I'm not going to judge him for that. Unfortunately, he's been cast in that role, but I don't know how long it's going to stay that way. You know, one guy that he was compared to a lot in the pre-draft process was Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi, whenever he came to the NBA, was already 20. Coop is just 18. But Kawhi didn't average more than 13 points a game until his fourth season in the league. And he was much more of a supporting, kind of auxiliary player for the Spurs, and those were some really good Spurs teams. I mean, he was coming off the bench sometimes, but he was a starter for two teams that went to the finals in 2013 and 2014. He just wasn't the main guy, really, until a little later in his career, and then he became, obviously, one of the best players of his generation. And I think, you know, with that in mind, if I'm a fan, I'm not judging Coop based on his point total. I'm judging him based on his ability to defend, based on his ability to do multiple things. We've already seen him attack the basket both in transition and in the half court and finish with power, finish with a little bit of creativity. He's been a really good defender. You know, one of the shining moments, I think, from last night's game was he came up with a huge stop on Pascal Siakam in the final few minutes of that game. Siakam tried to take him one-on-one, and Coop just completely stonewalled him and forced him into this awful-looking jump shot. So he has been really good, I think, as a defender, especially for someone his age, and he has been really aggressive going downhill. I think in time, confidence in his jump shot and some counters when teams try and take away either his spin move or just a straight-line drive, I think that's going to take his game up another level offensively. But as far as 18-year-olds go, he is super far along already, and I don't think we're going to have to wait much longer to see more consistent production in the box score.
Bobby Corella talking Mavs here with you on The Fan. How's Jason Kidd rolling with this? Do you think the Cooper Flagg point guard thing is his idea or somebody else's?
I think it's his idea, and no one can really kind of uncover the real truth here, but I really think, you know, J. Kidd values – defense, obviously. I mean, everyone in this organization does, almost to the point where it's become a meme. But J. Kidd also values consistency. And, you know, one of the downsides throughout D'Angelo Russell's career is that he's been a pretty inconsistent shooter. He's always been a consistent playmaker. You know, he's always had a pretty good assist-to-turnover ratio. And that matters a lot on this team because point guard is really the only spot on this team that can break down the defense. And so there's a lot of pressure on that spot. But J. Kidd likes consistent decision-making, reliable, high IQ kind of decision-making. And D'Lo, sometimes that just isn't a part of his game. You know, he was pretty good against OKC, and then there was 30 seconds left. The Mavs were down three, and he took a really early shot. And it was kind of, in my opinion, not a very good shot. And that is sort of the D'Angelo Russell experience, right? And then on the other hand, you have Brandon Williams, who is a vet on the minimum. He has been on a two-way contract for most of his career at this point. He's not a consistent defender, you know, in part because he's just not a very big guy. He's only 6 foot, 6 foot one. And, you know, if you want a defensive presence at the point guard, well, you're not really going to find it in either of those two guys. And if you want consistent offensive production, those two guys aren't really going to give it to you either. And so I think J. Kidd has turned to Coop just to see what he's capable of. But, the one thing that J. Kidd has been really consistent about throughout his Dallas tenure is he is going to do what he wants for the first 5 to 10 games to start a season, and then he will abandon it very quickly. I mean, JaVale McGee was benched after, I think, 6 games. You know, Christian Wood, that was a whole saga that J. Kidd was pretty committed to. You know, Grant Williams was getting a ton of minutes to start that finals year, and then, you know, by mid-November, he was almost an afterthought. Like, J. Kidd will abandon a plan if it's not working out and pivot to something different. And again, I think with these injuries to these bigs, I don't think he's going to have any choice. Like, I think those point guards are going to play a whole lot more here very soon.
What's your assessment of how they've been defensively? I know you mentioned the analytics with the point guard in the lineup. The offense has been better. I don't know what they're saying about the defense, but based on the eye test, it's got to be disappointing through the first few games.
Yeah, statistically, they're top 10 in the league right now. Actually, they're 8th in defensive rating, but they've played a lot of teams that have pretty sorry offenses. I mean, like Indiana last night, basically everyone that played on their team that was in the finals a few months ago was hurt, you know, and so it's a lot easier to have a good performance against a team like that than it is against, say, San Antonio, who hung 125 on the Mavs on opening night, or the Wizards, who beat them up pretty good in the very next game. And so, you know, I'm not lending much credence to the overall defensive rating right now. I think, you know, their game against OKC a few nights ago, I thought structurally they looked really good. And individually, the guys that got matched up on SGA really made him work, and also did not foul him very much, which I think is a pretty hard thing to do against that guy in particular. So they're trying, you know, but like last night against Indy, you know, they didn't have Lively or Gafford, and then AD leaves the game midway through the first quarter. You know, the Pacers got 19 offensive rebounds in the game last night, and part of that is because they missed 69 shots. So, like, you're going to have a lot of chances to get a second chance. But, you know, that's against the Pacers, who also were playing a bunch of dudes you've never really heard of. So what happens whenever you go up against a team like Houston, who they got coming up in a few days, that has, like, Şengün and Steven Adams and Jabari Smith and Kevin Durant and all of these super big guys that are skilled and way more productive? You know, we'll see. I think, you know, the one good thing that's been working in the Mavs' favor so far is they haven't had a very tough schedule yet. So they've been able to work through some of these growing pains. But the bad thing is, now that their schedule is starting to get tougher, they're going to be shorthanded for a lot of these games unless something changes soon. And so I'm not sure we're going to get a really good idea of how they stack up defensively anytime soon, because they just don't have the guys that kind of forge this interior dominant identity that they're trying to tout all year.
When do you think Kyrie Irving will play?
God, I hope it's like in a few days.
please.
But I mean, I don't know. He's an optimistic guy, and he's going to try and get back as soon as possible. But I mean, if he comes back before February, I would love that. I would think that would be almost miraculous, you know, at his age dealing with that injury. But if there's someone that can do it, it is him. I mean, obviously the Mavs need him in the worst way, and I love watching that guy. So I hope it's as soon as possible. But, you know, the last thing you want is for him to look at the standings and say, like, man, you know, we're 5 games out. Like, I really better come back before I'm ready. And then all of a sudden you're exposing yourself to an even worse, you know, possible scenario. So it's just, I want him to come back when he's ready, whenever that is, whether it's in January, February, or next October.
What's the state of covering Nico Harrison right now? Is he dodging you guys? Is he giving you icy stares? What's Nico's approach with the media?
I mean, he hasn't done a lot of interviews, obviously, you know, really dating back since the trade, but he sat in a seat at the arena. You know, he's not hanging out in the tunnel. Like, he's out there in front of everybody now. And, you know, obviously fans in the arena still feel very strongly about him. You know, the Mavs go down 10 and you're going to start hearing the chants. And I'm not sure those are going away anytime soon, you know. And I think the unfair thing about Anthony Davis, you know, or for Anthony Davis, is he's playing through an injury and then he has to leave a game because he's hurt. Yeah. And fans are going to relive the pain of that trade all over again and take that out on him. And it's not Anthony Davis's fault, you know. I mean, it's a Nico thing. So, you know, the temperature is still pretty hot for sure. But, you know, hopefully there's a resolution to that one way or another pretty soon for everybody involved.
I'll drink to that, Bobby. Hell of a job, as always. We'll look to catch up with you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Bobby Corella, All-City Dallas Mavericks here on 105.3 The Fan, an absolute legend of talking Mavs. And you look at what's left on Nico's contract, it's this year plus one more. And I guess if you could promise me right now that at the end of next year you could move on from this, I would take that right now. I just don't want to hear, like, the worst case scenarios that we'd hear about an extension. Like, yeah, Dumont still has full. That would just be like, no. You want to hit the eject button as a fan at that point. Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's take a look at this Arizona Cardinal defense. We'll do that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest,
If shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Next.
Thank you very much. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's Broadus.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, my teammates. Appreciate you guys so much. I was sitting there during the break. I saw that video. We were talking about those. Lucius, I sent you a text. I don't know if you... God, I know you're probably in there working.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
I sent everybody here a video of that NOAA, that weather plane flying into that hurricane.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, how do they do that and not get caught up in that situation?
There's no way. There's no amount of money you could pay me to be on that plane flying into that hurricane.
You have to be like flying straight into the winds as it's spinning?
I don't know,
so
man.
So you kind of got to like corkscrew in with it?
It is crazy.
And then they go inside the eye.
And then it's just wild. As calm as can be. Like they're flying around and you see kind of the valley and all that. But if you haven't seen that, it's
sunny in that eye.
Yeah. It's nice and nice and calm, like nothing's wrong. But getting to that point to be able to get all the data and stuff that they need, that plane, that's as violent of a like turbulence as I've ever seen on an airplane.
You got to have a death wish to do that. And there's a guy riding in the middle, manning some sort of device without a seatbelt on, bouncing around.
I wonder if he's doing like the engines, like he's kind of like prop making it faster, slower, kind of like, you know, when you ride the waves on a boat.
Yeah.
He might be manning the throttles is what he might be doing. But how about the guy just taking the video? He's just back there bouncing around.
Jeez. I mean, you're like me up there in that turbulence. I don't know if you offered me 6 figures, I would go on that ride.
That's what I'm saying. How do you recruit for that job?
There's no way.
I've never heard anybody say, man, we don't have enough hurricane chasers.
There's
hurricane pilot.
Yeah. Hey, what do you do? I'm a hurricane pilot. Yeah. I fly into hurricanes.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
It's a crucial job. We got to collect data, figure out how they work.
I mean, the plane slightly bumps around.
Throw a missile through there. Throw a drone through there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, drone that thing.
I've flown with you guys.
Trump
enough.
Said blow it up. That's what Trump said. Blow that damn thing up, man.
Blow that thing up.
Yeah, wasted all this time tracking it. Just blow that damn thing up. Let's go.
I was seeing, I guess Trump was coming back from China. Mm. And China. Or his meeting. And Air Force One encountered some really bad turbulence, and he was doing interviews with reporters.
Yeah,
and they were bouncing all over the place.
I wouldn't stand for it.
Yeah, I'm like, as the president, I think you need to find me some clear air up here somewhere, please.
Yeah,
but I mean, even you guys flown with me enough, even the slightest bit of turbulence,
you'll freak out.
I get puddles of water in my hands.
Yeah,
and on the floor for a living. For a living, I used to travel, you know.
It's wild to think about. Like, you were traveling every week.
I was scared every time I got on an airplane.
Never got used to it.
Terrified.
Never comfortable.
Never comfortable. Mm. Never comfortable. Hey, real quick, too. Did you guys
see? I just found your Trump video. My bad. Yeah. See, he's hilarious. It's all over the place. Yeah. It looks like somebody's shaking the camera.
We're going to look bad.
Yeah.
Kind of. Ooh, steady
camera. He's got jokes for everything.
He does.
Man.
He does. Air Force One, big old Air Force One, is just bouncing around like no tomorrow.
What countries do you have in mind when you say you want to send a signal?
What a rough ride this is. The interviews are tough enough without, you know, without your life being threatened. You guys okay?
Yes, sir.
That camera guy's very steady. We're going to look real bad today on television, I'll tell you.
A little shake voice there.
A little shake voice. A little nervous about flying. But anyway, by the way, I saw this deal too real quick. Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
89 years old, right?
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
I have no idea how old he is.
I believe he's 89 years old.
Sandy?
Sandy Koufax. He stayed all 18 innings that game the other night.
What a stud.
Oh, wow.
89 years old. Yep. He was not like snoozing or anything.
He's a baseball thoroughbred.
Yeah, baseball fan. But
well, he can't snooze without his CPAP.
Go home, Dodgers.
Postseason baseball, keep you riveted.
Go home, Dodgers. God, I was drunk that day. All right, here we go. Let's talk about...
Just that day?
That was one of the days.
It was a great day.
That was a great day.
Man, he's still looking good.
That's what I'm saying, man.
89 years old. My guy's getting it done,
I'm saying, like, he could probably, like, pitch a couple innings for the Dodgers right now, but...
No question.
Here we are. Okay, got the Arizona Cardinals coming to town.
Yeah.
And defensively, what you got to know about the Cardinals is you're going to get a team that plays that odd front we talk about. We've seen it with Carolina. We've seen it with Denver.
Well, that's not good.
With the nose tackle and then the two edges, the defensive ends, those five techniques, those head up on the offensive tackles.
The base 3-4.
Yeah. Sometimes playing inside, so and then you got all those guys standing up. You're going to have to deal with a pass rush, like maybe a Calais Campbell playing down, and then everybody else linebacker-type guys, mm-hmm. edges, all standing up around. They're going to try and confuse you that way. I watched the Colts. The Colts are my team to win. Like, if you play the Colts in one of these breakdowns, I'm always going to watch because I think the Colts offensively is kind of good because they've got the line and they can kind of tell you how you need to probably run the ball a little bit.
They run the ball so well.
Yeah. So and that the running back's great. The line's
sure.
been a great job.
It's a great
job.
Marriage.
But you can kind of get an idea. This is a team that doesn't give you a lot, though, when it comes to running the football. They don't give up a lot of big runs. I know last week we had the Denver game. Denver gave up when it came to edge runs or big runs on the outside. Denver had only given up eight runs of 10 yards or more off the edge.
It's pretty good.
And, well, here the Arizona Cardinals have only given up 15 for the year.
Right.
So this might be a team that might be a little bit more. Are we talking about them playing the run defense? Like I say, I think it has to do with those guys like Dalvin Tomlinson. We know him from the days of the Giants. It's a big guy. I mentioned Campbell. Dante Stills is another guy that's kind of a big, boxy guy, but They've got some edges though that play it pretty well, believe it or not. Josh Sweat is another guy we're kind of familiar with.
Yep.
With the Philadelphia Eagles. He's provided some really good edge play when it came to run defense, actually, and some pass rush. And then Baron Browning, who they traded for with the Denver Broncos, plays as the other outside linebacker. So running the football might be a little bit more of a challenge, maybe not the challenge it was last week. Or maybe even the Carolina week, but still a challenge itself. Dallas has got to. I feel the fact that Dallas is at home, I think, helps that situation as well. Just got to make sure that they secure those, they get those down guys secured because there's a lot of power up front. We saw that last week with them. You're going to get a lot of what we call cover four from this team. And they play cover four in a way where, and just to explain to folks out there, if you've never heard of cover four, it's just everybody's. The secondary, the two corners and the safeties taking quarters of the field is all it really is. And what it tries to do, it tries to prevent you from making plays, big plays down the field. They're in a situation, too, with cover four, when you got a Mike linebacker that kind of plays underneath, and then the two outside linebackers usually will play like a flat mm-hmm. area. So there's a space between the linebackers and then where the safeties and corners of how deep. So would not be surprised against cover four. You could do double moves tend to work. We'll see that with maybe with Pickens, the out, the up. They try to do that, the out and up move. And the other day, Dak threw an interception off that. He was looking at Pickens, but then went the other way on that double move. But against a team that plays a lot of cover four, like I say, if you could get them to bite on that, there's that space behind where you could throw it, and then there's space between the linebackers and then where the corners and the safety sit. So look for some cross in your outs and things like, not the shallow ones, but maybe a little bit deeper.
Deep crossers.
A little bit deeper, because you don't get the, you get the deep drop from the secondary and the linebackers kind of stay short to play everything underneath. So there's that area underneath that you can maybe attack the Cardinals at.
I saw they've only allowed 3 touchdowns to wide receivers this season, and they all came from the slot.
Yeah.
They had eight in the slot.
Yeah. Jalen Thompson is up there.
Yeah.
Because Will Johnson, and that's Will a good, that's a good system for Will Johnson to play in.
Yeah, Will Johnson's actually playing really well for these guys. I know there were some questions about his speed.
But as a zone corner,
yeah,
he excels. Like, if he keeps it in front of him, he was great at Michigan doing that.
He absolutely was. So, yeah, I would say Jalen Thompson has played kind of some like safety a little bit for this football team. And like, but he's listed as the nickel corner, but he's kind of played back a little bit. But Will Johnson, Max Melton have been the two corners. It's kind of hard to find the scrub in this one, to be honest with you guys.
I was hoping you'd say Max Melton. Yes. Darn it.
No, but
he's playing well.
Yeah, it's kind of well. This team's given up only 8 touchdown passes, and they've had 4 interceptions. They've knocked down 35 passes this year. As a defense. Wow. So that's kind of a something you need to be
stingy unit.
Need to be alert about that. About 61% off coverage, so maybe a little bit of space playing that cover 4. Press only 18, and they're going to try and rush 4. That's their big thing. They really don't want to bring the fifth guy. They want to commit to having the coverage or having the ability. So you're going to get rush 4 a lot of this time. So be aware of that. I think it's a pretty good defense overall. Like I say, I can't really find the scrub. A good matchup is going to be, and an interesting matchup is going to be, what's going to happen with Josh Sweat potentially going up against Guyton or Steele. That's been a problem for Steele in the past, is dealing with Josh Sweat. So be interested to see how the Cardinals play that going forward.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Tune in all season long. Wednesday, you get the opponent offense preview, and Thursday, he looks at the defense. Wolchuk, what are we doing next?
Well, let's get a fix in here. We got a couple of trades the Athletic would like to see the Cowboys make, and maybe this dream is not dead yet.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate, with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.